podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the JMS Boxing Podcast with me, John.
I'm Sam.
And today we have, once I've stopped messing about my mic, we have George Hennon that's joined us today. Thank you for joining us.
Lovely, mate.
How's it going?
Yeah, really well, cheers.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, it'd be nice to chat to you. We've spoken to a few of your teammates and your trainer. And it'll be good to obviously speak to you about your career, what's obviously in the future. We had a little discussion off camera, trying to say less off camera, do more on camera. But yeah, I'll strip it back. Yeah. How did you get started?
So it was actually when I was six. My dad took me down the local kickboxing gym in Maidstone, TKO. Just mainly for self-defense, really, and like obviously, you know what schools are like, bullies and stuff like that. So my dad was making sure that me and my brothers didn't want to, like, if you got in trouble, then at least you knew how to handle yourself, sort of thing. But then when I went down there, started kickboxing and took a real liking to it. I actually had my first, it was like a light continuous fight at Casino Rooms the day before I joined secondary school. And then just been a game from there, done kickboxing all the way up to 18 and then turned to boxing.
So you start kickboxing, which is like the way that you do the kickboxing is slightly different to the way you like boxing. Do you have like any version of like the ABAs and stuff like that in?
So there's all different, to be fair. That's one thing that was a little bit annoying. There's so many different like sanctioning bodies and belts and stuff, and you could win a belt so easy in kickboxing. But there's no real like ABA system or anything like that. There was just so many different shows and tournaments and things, which was great because we was fighting quite often. Mm. But there weren't like an established like ABA body sort of thing.
So you ticket selling?
Yes, yeah. I had to sell tickets when I was on the home shows. Obviously, still got to go and fight on away shows where you didn't really have to sell tickets, but and done a few done a little tournament in France, which was pretty good. I've been having to sell tickets for quite a while now.
Was it? Would you said it's more like? With what I know of kickboxing, you can correct me on this. I don't want to be disrespectful towards kickboxing. Would you say it's more like the way that the unlicensed scene works for boxing?
I see what you're saying there, yeah. A little bit. Yeah, I suppose, to be fair, you're probably not really too wrong with that, to be honest. But there was some real tough kickboxing.
I think the way I see things being sanctioned is that, as I know, the unlicensed scene in boxing is that everyone has their own thing. On the unlicensed scene, you'll get some actual really, really good boxers that made that for one reason or another can't get their British board.
That's right. Everyone has to start somewhere, don't they? So, and to be fair, with kickboxing, I think I've seen a lot of people that are new from the kickboxing scene turning over like pro boxing now. And people either sort of, there's one or two ways you can go. I think people either go to down the MMA route or the boxing route. So I chose the boxing. I don't fancy getting grappled on.
I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask why you chose the boxing route instead of the MMA route.
So to be fair, in the end, kicking became a bit of a chore for me. I used to really enjoy the kicks when I was a lot younger, but then I prefer just using my hands, to be fair. And I've never really been someone who would like to do all the wrestling and all that sort of thing. And I've loved boxing. Ricky Hatton was my absolute idol growing up. Obviously loved watching Mike Tyson and all that sort of stuff. But I was more, boxing was more like in my face sort of thing.
Did you find, so you say you kickboxed up until 18, then you changed boxing. Did you find there was a matter of an adjustment? Or
huge, massive adjustments. And I'm still like learning new things now, like footwork and stuff. that I've had embedded in me from my kickboxing days. Sometimes, like, you see it with George Groves as well. He's got like wide stance. So my stance is quite wide, and I'm trying to bring it in. And like, just there's so much, like, so many things that are different from the kickboxing to boxing that I've had to sort of try and get out of bad habits.
But distance management as well, I can imagine.
So much. Yeah, that's it. So, and like head movement and things. Obviously, with head movement, I never really done too much rolling and things because I didn't want to roll into someone's leg. So, but now, obviously,
it's all changed. So when you changed over to boxing, where did you go? Did you start amateur? Was it unlicensed? Or did you just go straight turn pro?
So I actually went down to, went down to St. Mary's. Done a little bit down there. I was going to get carded and start fighting, but I was working with a friend, Sonny, who was down at Peacock Gym, trained by Johnny Green.
Sonny
Whiting.
Yep.
And school. Yeah, he was at Anfield as well, wasn't he? I was working with him, and then we was working at the O2, next to the O2 arena. So it's only a short little travel under the, like, through the tunnel, and then you're at the Peacock. So I'd finish work and then go with Sonny to the Peacock, do a little bit with him, with Johnny, and Johnny sort of said, like, my style would probably be more suited to the pro ranks if I fancied having a go. We just got the ball rolling. And obviously, when I went for my license, because I hadn't had any amateur fights at that time, you still, I believe now, you have to have a minimum of 4 amateur pro bouts before you can apply for your license.
Okay.
But at that time, all I had to do was one of the little assessment things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah.
You have to go back to people to do that.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I've just done the little assessment thing. And then, turned over with John.
Okay. So is he still your manager?
No. So I was with John for my first, I think it was like four or five fights, I think it was. And then I had a long sort of layoff, 5-year layoff. But I was with John from there. Yeah.
So you're still at the Peacock Gym, and then your first fight would be Matt Seawright?
That's it, yeah.
At Grays.
That's it, Grays Civic Hall, yeah, because I was managed by Carl Greaves at that point, because he used to do shows down this way.
He does them in Rotherham now, if I...
He's up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, great man, Carl. He used to do the shows down Grays Civic Hall. That was my first.
So you've gone from kickboxing to being a pro boxer.
Mm.
Your first fight, was it a case of right now trying to change your style, or is it just a case of little bits at a time, jump in the first fight, see how it goes?
Yeah, a little bit of that, to be fair, because I knew it was a massive, massive jump. There's so much to learn. And it's still, I think, no matter how good you get and no matter how long you've been doing it, there's always things to work on. So it's always going to be a learning process. But, we just got cracking and I knew it was going to be suck it and see thing. So
how did you find the difference between the pro boxing scene to the kickboxing scene?
Oh yeah, it was, to be fair, I've always, when I was growing up, looked at pro boxers and thought, God, I couldn't even really imagine myself being one at the time. So then where it was all sort of becoming a reality, it was sort of like pinch yourself moment, you know. Then you're getting against them experienced journeyman.
Start trying to build your career.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And these journeymen are hard bastards. Oh,
they're so intelligent how they work, like moving around the ring and just know how to survive.
Because they've got to work, I bought an exactly. And obviously, people don't realise that it's something that comes up and all this, and repeat it again. So you know how to move around the ring, because you'll need to get paid the next week. And that's he had over 125 fights at the time.
Exactly. But to be fair, my coach Johnny he had 100 pro fights. So being trained by him, it was great.
I imagine the experience you can lean on.
Yeah, it was blinding.
So you then went to Ali Wyatt, the next fight?
Yeah. There was another one. He was pretty tough. I can't remember. It's a long time ago now. It feels like a long time ago.
So 2015, this was. Yeah. So you're getting yourself going and...
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah.
Finding yourself... Is it just a case of... Did you... Before I get into any more as we go through them, when you turned over, did you have... what was like your ambition? Was it just a wait and see or was it... Let's go Southern area, let's go English, let's go British.
To be fair, when I first turned over, I was obviously still young, I knew it was going to take time and I had still so much to learn. So I just wanted to gain as much experience as I could, to be honest. Like, it was just sort of, I enjoy fighting.
Mm.
So it was, I just wanted to just be in there, to be honest.
Case of just getting in there and then let's see what happens.
Yeah, see how we go, yeah.
So you had Ali White, and then that was again... Civic Hall Greys, and then Danny Dunchev. At York Hall.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. To be fair, that weren't one of my best nights, to be honest. it was a win, but it weren't one of my best performances.
How was York Hall?
Yeah, blinding. That was the first one there that I had against Danny. But all my recent ones have been at York Hall.
Yeah,
but it's such a great arena,
really. Yeah, I think I'll put it out there. I think when I fought there and I criticised and then as I'm going there with this, I'm seeing it more and more and I'm like, okay, I see why, like, the atmosphere is brilliant and stuff like that. Yeah, but the changing rooms are shocking. They need to sort out the changing rooms. It's the only thing I think it really got to me is the changing room and stuff like that. Then you come to the SSC Hydro.
Yes.
Sam Ball.
Yeah, so we got that call two weeks notice. John sort of rung me up. I was at work. Said, look, there's an opportunity here on a Matchroom show. And listen, I just love competing. So I thought, yeah, why not? So... Yeah, we actually got told that they said it was at 7:10.
What do you normally fight at?
So I was normally boxing at like 10:04.
Right.
They said 10:07. Yeah, it was like, yeah, no problem. That's fine. And then when we actually got to the weighing, we was about to step on the scales, they said, oh, it's 10:10. I was like, oh, all right. And obviously I weighed in 10:07. He was just under the 10:10 limit. And then... when we got in the ring, I looked across and I thought, he was massive. Like, it was a lump. It was a great experience. Obviously, I put him down in the first round.
I was going to say, the information you're saying, you put him down in the first round and then him in the second and third.
That's it, yeah. So it was more of a flash knockdown, my one, to be honest. He was a strong old lad. And obviously, I was still young and growing at the time. I box at 10 stone now, and I was smaller then. And that was obviously 10:10. So, hindsight's a great thing, ain't it?
Sometimes you have to... take your chances I was speaking to Martin Hillman about this, something like risk to reward. You're the one getting in there. Sometimes you have to put the risk out and sometimes you don't get the reward.
That's right.
But it may later on, it might work out in your favour. Do you know what I mean? And I think as a boxer, it's really hard because I can imagine, I don't know if it would have been the same, but people coming up, wow, you should have done this, you should have done that.
Yeah, I had that so bad.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You're like, see, everyone's like, oh, well, you should have done this, you should have done that. And you're like, well, no, this is how it went.
It's funny you say that, actually. After the fight, we went back to the hotel and we was in like the hotel bar at the bottom. And some local bloke come up to me. He was like, oh, you're here for the boxing? I said, yeah. He said, oh, I boxed earlier. And he's like, oh, how'd you get on? I said, I lost. I said, but it was a great experience. He was like, oh, that's the wrong attitude. I said, is it? And then he started giving me a little bit of stick over it. I thought,
I'll box your head off.
Hold
up a minute, yeah, get fucked.
Listen, and I think that as soon as I got that loss, it sort of took on so much pressure off anyway. But if you just strip it back, it's just, you are literally just going there and having a fight and listen, all the best lose. Like, it's not, you don't really lose until you give up, sort of thing. So I just thought, it is what it is, and you just go again.
And he was 5-0 at the time as well. So it's your third fight. It had been his sixth.
Yeah, he was a very experienced amateur as well. Great fighter, Sam Baldwin.
So you're like, well, because I imagine if you win that, opens up so many doors.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
But people only care about that, like the loss on their record, and it's the end of the world. I think he's saying where I'm a massive fan of MMA because if you lose in MMA, it's not the end of the world.
No, it is what it is, isn't it?
Boxing, because of the Mayweathers and people like that, like Calzaghe, the ones that, like, not protect their zero, but the ones that have the zero, that's what everyone concentrates on. I don't like the way it goes.
It's not good.
There, you go back to Gray Civical against Ross Roberts.
And that was all right. To be fair, that was a nice little fight. Back to winning ways. And then
did it feel good to sort of get back in there?
It did.
Just get back to where you wanted to get to, and
because I don't think it was that long after that the fight either. I think it was like a month or so.
Two months.
I think them three fights, the one before Scotland, and then obviously the Hesse City Hydro, and then that one. I think it was like three or four months, which was quite a little busy period. So, yeah, it was nice to get back to winning ways.
Was you still at the Peacock then?
I was.
So you're still with Carl, still with the Peacock.
Yeah.
Last fight in 2016, then the massive break.
Yeah, so obviously where I'd been competing from such a young age and dedicated my whole sort of life to it, it just come to a point I just thought I need a break.
Did you find a burnout?
I burnt out massively. And me and my wife now, we had just got engaged, and then we was like sort of planning our wedding and wanted to go to different places. I thought, do you know what? Let's live a little. You know, I think it's important. You do things that you enjoy sometimes. So
it's got a bit of fun.
It has. Yeah, it definitely has. And so, yeah, I left it alone. And to be honest, I didn't give it up and think, I'll have a few years off and I'll come back. I was genuinely thought I'll probably never box again.
Just done. Straight up.
I just thought. and then wonderful COVID happened. And then the first show I could go back to was actually a kickboxing show, funny enough, one of the ones I used to fight at, Casino Rooms. And I was sitting there and I was just watching the boys compete and I just thought, what am I up to?
How old are you at this point?
This was only a couple of years ago. What was it? So what are we in now? 23. This must have been 2021. So I think I was 27 or 28 at the time. And I went to that show, kickboxing one. And obviously being like, I think I was 27 or 28. I thought, right. I'm feeling like this now, a little bit of regret that I'm not doing it. I thought I've got a chance here to go back and do something about it. I'm young enough still to sort of do it.
How did your second stint, how did that come about? Because I imagine the Carl Greaves now is not, you're not under contract with Carl Greaves.
No, yes.
You're not a Peacock now.
No, yeah. So I... obviously, Cole doesn't do the shows no more around here. So
no, he's
So I thought that obviously that's out of the question. I was working, another fellow I used to work with, Lewis Sirrett. He was a great fighter. I was talking to him a lot, and he was down Sevenoaks gym. So I went down there with him under Andy Knight. I went down to Sevenoaks with him and Andy Knight. Got some real good work in there. Was enjoying it. It's a bit further away from home than where I am now. But it was good. And then sort of spoke about turning over again. and spoke about who I sort of have as my manager. And Siriac was with Steve Goodwin. So Andy set up a little Zoom call with Steve, had a little meeting with him, and yeah, it was great. Like, it was a real good chat, and he understood what I wanted. So yeah, went and signed a little contract there. And then obviously, as I was still training down at Sevenoaks, sort of like, just things weren't like that great, as in bit of a slap from work. After I'd finished work, a bit of a slap up to the Sevenoaks
gym. Yeah.
And where I was working, the owner, James, he also trains with George Omani down at Evolution Gym.
Yeah.
And he said about sponsorship. So he was going to sponsor me to, obviously I was working for him still at the time, and he said he was going to sponsor me as well, and I could train. Like, I was going down to the gym in the mornings, doing a little session, and then going to work. Obviously, that was with George. George hadn't had his pro license at the time, like coaching license. So we had a little discussion and things, and George, like, he was keen on not obviously being a pro trainer, because he's very knowledgeable, George. And then it sort of went from there. He got his pro trainer's license, and then I started training with him full time, and then now we are here. Yeah.
You're still working at this point
still
as
working,
well.
Yeah.
And then, so you're getting out, training in the morning, doing your runs,
doing
working.
Yeah.
Hard on your partner as well. I can imagine.
It is.
So you come back 2022, mm-hmm. Fons Alexander.
Yeah.
Signed with Goodwin as well.
Yeah.
Then.
Signed with Goodwin. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Fon's a really nice guy as well, actually. I've kept in touch with him since that. But yeah, it was a good little learning fight.
How did you find being 5 years out of the ring? Ring rust or?
Didn't actually feel too bad, to be honest with you. Well, I'd had quite a lot of hard spars in the preparation for it. It actually felt quite good. I didn't feel like it was too much ring rust. So yeah, it was quite good, to be fair.
So as you're coming back, what was you looking to do? Was it just, again, same as before, get back in the ring, or?
No, really,
I was going to say, has your viewpoint changed?
Yeah, it had, to be honest. I was like, I need to win a title. To win a professional title, even like the Southern area, I thought, like, if any title I fight for will be my world title, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, I've got big ambitions. But yeah, I really want to get my hands on a title.
I'll ask you about, obviously, what's next after it and see. But yeah, that's it's good. It just because I imagine as you get older, everything's sort of your viewpoint of the world slightly changes.
It does, yeah.
So you're keen, like, want to get in now. Yeah. You're like, actually, let's make something.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
You went against Fyodor Nikolov.
Nikolov, yeah.
Is it Teodor? That's a strange name, isn't it?
Yeah. Just before that, I had Granum as well, didn't I? Jordan Granum, which was a bit heavier.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I missed Jordan Granum,
yeah,
sorry.
So I had Jordan Granum, and then, Teodor Nikolov.
So you're in, again, in a 5 month period, you're in three times.
Yeah.
Ticket sales.
Yeah, every time.
How were your ticket sales? Because that's quite a lot.
I know people do say this, but the support I get is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
I think the first fight back I done like 260 tickets, and then
bloody hell.
And then it was, I think it went down to like 180. Which is still like, it was only like a couple of months after, and then 150, and then they've just stayed sort of that, at like that sort of number, which is seriously good, isn't it, for when you're fighting that often.
Yeah, I'd say I've been quite critical of ticket sales, because you'll get 300 people say they'll buy one, or 150 people, and then only 50 people buy them. But actually, when I've speaking to different boxers and that, have to give a shout out to everyone that buys a ticket as and everyone that actually does buy a ticket and supports obviously yourself and have it. When you're saying that your ticket sales are good, it's quite nice to hear.
It's obviously I still have them struggles of people saying they're going to come. And then
the week of, you're like,
I know. But I understand as well. It's hard out there.
Cost of living at the moment, everything like that.
Yeah. So it's humbling, and it's so nice to have the people like backing me. Like I say, I've the main block of people that just come every time.
Yeah.
You just know as soon as they message you, I think like that's he's definitely sweet. Coming. But and then loads of different people keep coming as well, and Evolution, where I'm at the minute, the gym, loads of the guys down there just who do all the strength work and all that sort of thing. The owner of the gym, Andy, who also sponsored me, does my strength and conditioning. He really puts it out there and like pushes it on social media and people in the gym about like getting tickets, and he sells me quite a few tickets as well. So
That's really good. So you're then we're into this year. So you're against Ilian Markov.
To be fair, see them first three or four fights since my comeback. Each one of them, the opponent's changed fight week. And I think that Ilian Markov, I think he actually stepped in like 2 days notice. So got to take your hat off to Goodwin, because a lot of promoters and managers like might not have been able to get someone else in that quick, you know, especially if the opponents coming from abroad, obviously they've got to pay for the flights, hotels or whatever. So I'm lucky really that
we've had Goodwin on.
Have you?
Yeah, we've had Goodwin.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
He's one of the people that never cancels a show.
Never.
No matter how many pullouts.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Convenience.
I think that one against my first one back against Fons Alexander. There was loads of people pulled out of that show. There weren't that many fights on the card, but he still put the show up.
I rate him. I really do.
He's blinded. Yeah.
There's people out there that have tarnished it. You know, tarnishes. Don't go with Goodwin.
And
then you meet him, and you're like, what the fuck?
Are you sound like? Yeah. Listen, that's the thing. It's so important to take people as you know, ain't it? And as soon as I've met Steve, he's done nothing but good for me.
And
so,
to be fair, when you speak to boxers that have managed under him, obviously sometimes people fall out of people. It does happen. And this is a strange sport, but boxers that are under him will always say good. It always seems to say good stuff about him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just it's just weird. I think sometimes in business, people get at people and then...
Yeah, that's why.
So it come to Ben Fields.
Yeah, everything went wrong.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not a person who will make any excuses. So just is what it is. It was just a bad night in the office for me and the team. So
everything all right leading up to it, or?
Yeah, it was. There's bits and bobs, but I would never say, make any excuses, So it is what it is, mate. Like, it's just a learning curve, and then I'd love to have that rematch, but we'll see if it comes off.
March.
Well, we did try for December, but it just didn't happen.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Any reason why it's not happening, or?
I don't know.
Let's get it on. Get it back.
It'd be nice. I'd love that.
We'll try and get it. We'll try and stir the pot a little bit.
When's he fighting?
Yeah, we'll have a look. And then your latest fight was Santiago Garcia.
Garces. Yeah, it was a nice one to come back to. He was another late replacement. I was meant to be fighting Berman Sanchez, and then on the week
Berman Sanchez is a hard fight as well, isn't it?
Yeah, tough character. And then they he had to pull out for some, I can't remember the reason. So then they come up with Santiago Garces. And I'd actually, so me and my brother Harry went to Newcastle to watch Josh Kelly against Troy Williamson. And he was boxing another prospect on the undercard. And he gave him a bit of a hard, especially the first few rounds. He's real tricky.
Mm.
And I remember watching him and I thought, and then when the name got put to us, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a good night's work. Like, it's going to be a little test.
Yeah.
So I was expecting six hard rounds. And then,
dropped him a few times.
Yeah.
And it worked. So you didn't want, as much as your fight before, you've gone, oh, I've lost. Next fight, you're like, right, let's get it on. Yeah. I want the hard fight.
Listen, I don't get me wrong, the night of that loss and the morning that followed, I was in a bad place. Like, and for a week or so, like, just real down.
Yeah,
I was just
like people don't fucking talk to me.
Like, you know, but saying that, the you get a lot of messages when you win. I got double, maybe even triple the amount of messages from people like if support after that loss. So that meant a lot.
Good, yeah.
So, it just shows that some like people ain't always there. But the thing is, when people buy tickets, you put so much pressure on yourself. But really, people are just there to support. They're not genuinely there to. They don't really care. They just care about you, sort of thing. And I think from that loss, it real shows. Like,
I think you have to a testament to your fan base as well, because I'll say there are people out there that will win and win and win.
Mm.
And then when they've lost, I've seen all their support go.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then not be able to fight because they can't sell tickets because they've lost. Mm. Have this air of invincibility and then just go. And yeah. I was like, wow, this is...
Yeah, to be fair, like, that's the... I think if you've got support, but it's not people that you sort of really, really know, like, all the people who really come to buy tickets off me, they're like genuine friends. Mm. You know, like it's not just like, oh, they just come to watch me fight. I'm friends with every single person that buys a ticket, sort of thing, which is, and it's just nice that it's to good. Have
yeah.
to be able to have that sort of support, you know.
So the what's next? What's
well, so obviously we was hoping to get out again this year. Which was going to be actually funny
tonight.
Enough,
today, tonight, yeah, I was going to say on the Boxmania card.
Yeah, it was
I see that. Yeah,
but obviously with that not happening, it's now looking like March. I've said to Steve like, we just want like big fights. So I'd rather at least a title or some sort of eliminator fight, or if there's a slot on a TV show where they need an opponent or something like that, just something big.
Yeah.
To get my stuff.
If you're up there in March, you might see either one of us or someone from now, like, so we're going up there as a media team.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, and the Goodwin shows?
We're going to try and get the Goodwin shows.
Lovely.
We've got a few shows. We'll speak to Steve, obviously, and try and get up there. So if you're up there, get an interview off you after your fight. Do you know what I mean? Or before your fight, however which way. Some people like it before, some people like it after. Yeah. That's the one thing I've noticed. But, yeah, it's this thing that we're looking to do as well.
Oh, happy days. That'd be good. So, yeah, I'll, like I say, with being with Steve, I'm sure I'll be on one of them shows in March anyway. So,
So then, if you try get to the southern area or English,
so whatever's available, really. Obviously, now you've got that Commonwealth silver as well, the English southern area. Yeah, any of them, something nice.
So, what we like to do with all our guests, at the I don't know. Obviously, I think I've put a few people on the spot with this.
Oh God!
Create their best boxer with different attributes.
Okay.
So past, present, doesn't matter, or well, it can't be future. Past, present, who has the best footwork in your eyes?
Ooh. So I've got to be Lomachenko or Rigondeaux.
Oh, Rigondeaux. Rigondeaux's a...
he was class.
Yeah, but he didn't sell pay-per-views. So
no, I know.
He died off really quickly, which was a massive shame.
Yeah.
Footwork, not footwork, chin?
Chin. That's a good one. I immediately thought Carl Froch. That man is an absolute machine, weren't he? Gunslinger. And probably could have said Joe Joyce until the old...
Until Gilles Jaune.
Yeah, we'll go with Carl Foxx.
Okay. Boxing IQ?
Boxing IQ. Terence Crawford.
Attacking prowess? So not like punch power, because I'll come to that, but like it's people that are like good pressure, like can...
Yeah, Canelo.
Defensive work?
Floyd.
And then punch power.
Punch power. There's some big hitters out there, isn't there? Who should we go for?
Then rack the brain. Rack the brain.
We've got a cut.
It's the last one. Don't worry, I can shoot it down.
I feel, do you know when you get put on the spot? My brain is going mental. I tell you what, let's go Beterbiev.
Okay. Yeah. He's Callum Smith, isn't he?
But to be fair, though, I half fancy Callum.
I love Callum. I think he's such an underrated fighter.
If I had to bet, I'm not a betting man at all. Yeah. I would actually, my money would be put on Callum, I think.
Yeah.
He's class.
Well, if he wins, we'll tag it in it. Yeah. The conversation. Anything else you want to add?
Sponsors.
Yeah, because that, to be fair, without them, things would be so much harder. ACS, who I currently work for, scaffolding. They've been there since the start of the comeback. He's blinding James and Aaron. So a massive shout out to them. Bespoke Recruitment Services, Louis Delane, another good friend. Got B5 Solutions, Matt Bassett. K&A Electrical, Kieran. I've got quite a few really good. Like they're just real good people. Obviously Evolution Gym, where I train at the minute. He's helping me out hugely. Who else we got? Might have to shorten this bit.
I don't know.
Can I quickly check? Because I don't want to miss anyone, because that would be shocking. Oh, we're right.
We're all good.
I've done them all, yeah. I'll tell you what, no, one more. Thompson Asphalt. So he's the owner of Thompson Asphalt. He's in Australia. And when I was in just joint secondary school, I used to play for Cuxton 91. And this guy, Matt, used to manage the football club only for a couple of years. And then he went away. I didn't really know where he went. Turns out he went to Australia, and I started that LinkedIn, and I got a message from Matt Thompson saying about, how do we do about sponsorship? And I was like, blimey. It's mental even to hear from him. Mm. And then I sort of said like the different
packages, whatever.
He was really keen to sponsor me, and he like said some really nice things, and I was like, wow, like I haven't spoke to you in years, and then you've come out of the blue and like wanted to support for this.
It's good,
massive shout out to Matt as well.
Cool. Now, thank you for joining us. Hopefully see you in March.
It'd be good to
come, and I think hopefully we're up there on some media stuff. Hopefully our team will be up there on media stuff. If you like the podcast, come support us on Patreon, £3 a month, the JMS Boxing Podcast, all our socials. Also, leave a review and like and share all our stuff. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.